Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Hot Topics from the Soul with your host, Dr. Valerie N. Parker, businesswoman, author, speaker, and life coach. Dr. Parker is the president of Arise by VMP, which is a speakers bureau and public relations company. She is also the visionary and founder of the Soul of a Woman Foundation that brings awareness to domestic violence and children living in single-parent homes. Hot Topics from the Soul is a virtual lifeline to the community, discussing social and political issues, relationships, finances, motivation, and inspiration. For information regarding products, services, and resources, visit www.fromthesoulofawoman.com. That's www.fromthesoulofawoman.com. Ladies and gentlemen, I now present to you your host, Dr. Valerie Parker.
Good evening and welcome to another edition of Hot Topics from the Soul. I'm so excited to be here on the air with you once again. It is February. I have with me my co-host, Shirley Carter. Shirley, are you there?
Good evening, everyone. Thank you for joining us this evening. Val, I am so excited about our show tonight. Our listeners are really going to enjoy this one.
Yes, indeed. We have a special guest with us tonight. But before we get into the show, it is Black History Month here across the nation. And did you know, Shirley, that February the 3rd, 1903, Jack Johnson became the first Negro heavyweight champion of the world? And then February 5th, a baseball superstar was born, Henry Home Run Aaron. He was born in 1934.
All right. And you notice you said February. That is a hot month. There's so much happening in the month of February. Everything from love to history to our
famous... And your
famous...
birthday.
Oh, yeah. Thank you so much. Yes, my birthday. I mean, this month, February, it's a short month, but it's a very, very powerful month. This is a month that we celebrate every single day. And as I tell you, I celebrate every single day of it because it's my birthday month, too. But in addition to that, Black History Month. So it's exciting. I'm excited about the month. I look forward to it all year. And there's just so much to do in this month. There's so much education. There's so much to learn. There's so much to take in and give and share with everyone else. So I'm very excited about this month.
Well, Shirley, tell us something that of Black history, something that people will know as it relates to our history as a people.
Well, I had the opportunity to learn some history myself over the weekend. I went to an alumni event at one of the HBCUs, and I thought, you know, I was educated up on the schools and everything, but I was really informed. I learned that not only do we had 105 schools. And that kind of blew me back, and I was like, 105 HBCU? I didn't know that, but we only have 100 now because five of them, because of financing and other things that came into play, have to close. And I also became aware that there's 75 alumni from HBCU that actually work with the Obama administration in some capacity or another. And I learned even more information. We had a speaker there, an astronaut. He was one of the first Black astronauts. So he was able to give some information about his life and his background and encouraging our young students to get involved in HBCU schooling. And then we had a gentleman there, the president of the Thurgood Marshall Foundation, which was established in 1987. And I found from that establishment that the number of grants that they give and scholarships for students to go to one of the HBCU schools, it just blew my mind, Val. I was like, oh, my God, we got over 100 schools? I couldn't even begin to name them. I know a few of them, but I couldn't even just phantom them. I was like 105. I got stuck on that 105. And I said, just think that our young people do not know what's available to them when it comes to schooling and getting into one of these schools, and that the fact that the Thurgood Marshall has a program where they give out grants and everything for the school, and then there's other grant opportunities. There's one called the Black Grant. I've never heard of the Black Grant. Have you ever heard of that?
No. Do you know how you qualify for that?
Well, and how you qualify is that, first of all, you just got to fill out the application. And then they would
But do you have to have a GPA, a certain criteria?
They're only asking for like a 2.5. They're not asking for the 3.0 or the 3.0. If you're willing to go to school, they're willing to help you. But we need to get the information out to people about these grants. And even like the Thurgood Marshall one, they're giving more and more grants in two major areas, engineering and in medical. There's a shortage of Black engineers. So they have a program that they're pushing to get more and more of our young Black people, children, into the engineering programs. And they talked about in the government having hundreds of thousands of vacant positions that they need engineers, someone with an engineering degree, to fill. So it had so much going with this program that I was at. I was taking notes, and I was coming home and researching. I was like, oh, my God, I didn't know that. As of last year, even like there's Morse Brown College, I was really saddened to read that they had 15 faculty members and only 50 students enrolled. And they're millions of dollars in debt that they had to file bankruptcy.
Wow.
And I said, I remember that school being a part of that show, Drumline, with Nick Cannon. Morse Brown was the opposing school. And not only, that show was lasting, 10 years ago? It was on a big movie, big screen?
I don't know.
And now they're in
baby.
Bankruptcy? I'm sorry, what did you say?
I said, I don't know, I was a baby when that came out.
Oh, 10 years ago? Okay. I'll let you slide on that one. But,
yeah,
you know, to think that a school that prominent, that it was a movie was made about it, that now it's in bankruptcy and there's only 50 students in the school, that hurts. And so the awareness that I wanted to bring to our listeners is that if you're an alumni of one of the HBCU, they need your support. And the alumni I was sitting with, they were even in awe themselves because they was not really aware of the condition or some of the things that were actually going on with a lot of the HBCU schools. And so they was asking for support and for people to start pulling together and researching and promoting the schools more, because the bigger the enrollment, the better their finances could be. So
that's unfortunate that, not too much interest is given to historically Black colleges. But tonight I have a young man all the way from East London. He is calling in live, and he is a motivational speaker and author. His name is Alan Seeley, and he is the author of Wisdom Brings Success, talking about success in education. And, but wisdom is the key. Alan, are you there?
I am here. Hi, Valerie.
Hello from East London.
Hi, Valerie. Hi, Shirley.
Hi, Alan. How are you?
I'm fine. Thank you very much. Thank you. Thank you for inviting me to the show.
Absolutely. Now, Alan, you've written a compilation of several books, but Wisdom Brings Success, what prompted you to write that book?
It was really born from my experiences as an entrepreneur, starting out in business, and a lot of the lessons that I learned in building my business and my career. A lot of them was a lot of based on wisdom, based on a lot of spiritual tools, and so I got to writing them. And also as well, I'm a publisher, and I was writing articles. I was doing it first of all just out of an interest, just out of a hobby. But as I got more of a response about it, I got very seriously about it and started studying more. So that's how that all, you know, how Wisdom Brings Success developed.
Okay, but you started out, it says, in a career in fashion and design, and then you started
right.
the company Ministry in Art Media. So how did that all come into play? You know, you're a motivational speaker, you're an author, but you came from fashion and design. How, explain that.
Well, it all stems back to a decision that I made when I was at a crossroad in my life. It's going back before that, as a child, my hobby was always art, and I used to do a lot of paintings and illustration. However, in school, funny enough, it was my art teacher that deterred me from taking up a career in art and said I can't really make any money from that. And being the ambitious person I was, even at a young age, that didn't sit too well with me. So I chose electronics. I thought that I had some sort of interest in that, and I said, well, you can't go wrong with electronics. So I studied electronics. I majored in that. I have a degree in electronics, came out of university, but found it hard to get a job around that time because there was a recession going on in the United Kingdom. So whilst trying to find a job in electronics, I fell back on my hobby, which was art. And then from doing that, a few people saw my work and commissioned me to do some designs for them. And then I had an interest in fashion. I just decided to design my own clothing. So I did that and did my own T-shirts and got that all printed and had fashion shows and went to exhibitions. So things started to develop from there. Then I came to a crossroad because I was still thinking, well, I don't want to waste my education in electronics, so what do I do? Shouldn't I still be pursuing that? But then there's art as well, which I'm passionate about, so what do I do? And it was only when I, funny enough, went to a meeting, it's a church meeting held by Dr. Miles Monroe from Bahamas, who used to speak a lot about, or still does, about potential. And he said at that meeting, when he said that your gifts and your hobbies were given to you by God for a specific purpose, that blew my mind because I saw art as a hobby, just like a talent or a hobby, but I didn't see it as some sort of divine purpose connected to it. I was ambitious, but I didn't see myself as having some sort of purpose, and I didn't see art as having any connection to that. But when I kind of grasped the concept of that, I decided to turn my back on electronics and go with what I'm passionate about, which was art. And then it was through going down that path that it evolved to a lot of wider aspects, even with the motivational speaking. It was from making that decision to go down to pursue my passion that opened up to a lot of things that I do now. So, so with the, also as well, in doing the art, that developed into, because I'm passionate about books and people writing books, I have a slogan that there's a book in everyone. And it was through art, because a lot of people started coming to me regarding designing their book cover, so I decided, well, you know, let's look into this and form a publishing company. So once I did that, that opened a lot more doors, and I work with a lot of first-time authors. which I find rewarding when they, you know, to see their face when they get that book, that first book in their hands. But I certainly believe that everyone has a book inside of them.
Yeah, absolutely. That's why, you know, I publish books as well. And, you know, I've published four books. Shirley has published one. And it's that joy of knowing that once you've put those words on that page, that it has the potential of empowering someone's life is absolutely amazing. It is an experience that, you know, you can't, and it's like I write down, I don't know about you, but when I start pinning things, it's usually 3 or 4 o'clock in the morning. And when I go back to read over it or put it in position, it was like, wow, I wrote that? And it's because in those quiet times, that's when God is speaking.
Yeah. That's right. Absolutely. Absolutely. I have the same experience.
You talked about crossroads. You know, for those that are listening that are on the verge of making a life-changing decision, could you give us something, an excerpt from the Pearls of Wisdom?
Yes.
From the Wisdom Brings Success book?
Yeah, absolutely. One of the things that I always say to people is to go with your passion. Identify what you are passionate about, because I believe that passion points towards purpose. It starts with passion, but it points towards purpose. So you must go with your passion. Identify what your passion is, what you are really passionate about. You know, like if you was to, you know, take it to the extreme, if you was, you know, you knew that you was going to die, what is that one thing that you know that you want to accomplish before you die? And that's a good way of to indicate or to locate what you are really passionate about, what is the most important thing to you. So that's what I did when I came to that crossroad, and kind of like basically got that epiphany regarding purpose and grasping that concept and that link to the thing that I'm passionate about and the gifts that I have that enables me to fulfill my passion, you know. And I would never have thought, you know. And once you kind of take that step, because you never are really given the full picture in the beginning. I didn't see everything that I'm doing now. My thing was when I started, I just wanted to be the best graphic designer, you know. I worked with a lot of churches. I did done a lot of publicity in the Christian market, and so I wanted to, you know, get jobs from the biggest churches and get the biggest jobs. And that was my vision at the time in regards to graphic design. But it was from making that choice and going down that road, and then I found I got up, you know, successful in that, but found that that wasn't really what it was all about. That was just one rung in the ladder, you know. And then I saw a bigger picture, and so, you know, pursued that, and then seeing a bigger picture as you go along. So you don't really get the full picture, but it's about getting on that path. And as you get on that path and you're going, it was like, you know, the bigger picture will be revealed to you.
Well, wisdom brings success. If you were to expound on that further, because I know, like with me, when I write the titles to my book, like my latest book, Unlimited Possibilities While Walking in Purpose, you know, it has a lot in that title. Your book, Wisdom Brings Success, what all is compiled in that title that you wanted to pin that as the cover of your book? Because it is a powerful thing. Wisdom brings success.
Yes, that's right. Yes. One of the key themes within the book in regards to wisdom, or and essential to wisdom, is sight. It's your perception of how you view yourself and how you view the world. And that is very critical to wisdom. You need wisdom, you need that light to be able to see things clearer, to see things as they are, and not as, you know, wisdom allows you to pierce through the illusion. Things can be presented to you that looks very challenging, that looks very dire, that looks like there's no way out. But when you have wisdom, you will see things through a totally different way, a totally different perspective. You will have a better perception. And for me, what I have experienced is that, you know, perception is not just a different way of seeing things. I see it as a tool to changing situations or changing circumstances. It key to that is perception. So wisdom and perception is very much connected, how you see things. So that is one of the running themes of through the book. And also as well, with the perception and with wisdom helps you to frame any situation how you deem fit in a way that's going to be more beneficial to you. And by framing, I'm talking about giving any situation a more empowering meaning, because any situation or circumstance that presents itself to you would always, most of the time, when you're going through things, the situation is presented as very bad or dire. You know, you're going to fail at this. This is going to bring you down. But it doesn't necessarily have to be, even though it may look like that. You have the power to frame any situation or circumstance in the way that most empowers you. But you need wisdom to be able to do that, and perception as well. So that's one of the key running themes through the book in regards to perception and how you frame and situations and the meaning that you give to it, because that would determine the outcome that's going to empower you better.
And wow. I know individuals can pick up your book by logging on to wisdombrainsuccess.com. That's www.wisdombrainsuccess.com. Now, what would you say to an individual that's, you know, struggling within themselves? You know, all of us have a battle of the mind going on at different periods in our life, you know, because we're on the crossroads of making a decision. Mm. We're trying to decipher which way to go. But then there's other individuals that aren't waiting and aren't listening and you know, meditating on what the next step is, but they move on impulse. What would you say to individuals that just are quick to jump into things? And, you know, a lot of times you jump in the fry pan and you can't get out. You burn. You consume.
That's right. That's right. That's right. I think individuals that do that, you know, they would, you know, they would experience the consequence of that. But I just want to kind of put some balance to that, because sometimes you have to, you know, with wisdom, you do also have to take a leap of faith.
Wow.
And I have found that I have progressed from one stage to another by taking leaps of faith. I remember even from, I used to work at home, and then there was the need for me to get an office. And at the time, I didn't see how I could afford to do that, but it was definitely needful for me to do that. And that was like a leap of faith to go and get an office. And once I got an office, not only was I able to afford that office, you know, I was able to renovate it and make it, you know, how it best suited the image of my company. And then another leap of faith was to have employees. and remember the first one, and to, you know, and I didn't have, it's not that I didn't have the income to be able to give a salary, but the need was there for me to employ somebody, and so I took a leap of faith and I did that, and I found that as I did that, I was able to, you know, I struggled first to do the first month, but I did it, and then the second month, and then after a while, it was like nothing, you know, I was paying, and then, you know, that, there was more leaps of faith in terms of like bigger office and more people working for me. So I just found that when I know that there is that need to expand, I take a leap of faith. It's not done callously, though, and it's not done on impulse. It's done, you know, wisely and with thought. But at the same time, it is a leap of faith. It is not that I have, you know, I had the means at the time to do that, but there was the need, and I, and from my experience of taking small steps, I was able to take bigger steps, knowing that once I do that, you know, the provision will be made.
That's interesting that you should say that. Now, Shirley, when you were writing your book, did you have any of the experiences that Alan and I spoke about?
Yes. I, you know, it's like you were, you know, you were speaking through me, because when I when I wrote my book, it was the same thing. I looked back and I was like, did I say that? I couldn't even remember saying it. And because I know Val and I had talked about my book. We talked years about a book. And when I told her about the title of the book I had written, she was like, what? You never talked about that. You talked about writing your story. Where did this book come from? And I said, well, God gave it to me. And no one else could have given it to me. I said, because the way I wrote the book and the amount of time it took me to write the book, I just started typing. And it was always late at night, in the quiet of the night, that I would do my best writing. It was like the feel of the moment. And, Alan, when you said, take that leap of faith, I wrote a poem about a leap of faith. And that's exactly what I did when I wrote my book. I took a leap of faith and just wrote it.
Wow.
I needed to do that. And that is so profound what you said. Your gift and your hobby was given to us by God as a divine purpose.
Absolutely.
That is very, very powerful statement. And it's also a very, you know, something that when you really look at, and Val, we talk about this a lot, our purpose. What is our purpose? And when you can connect on that level, you're unstoppable.
Absolutely.
So, Alan, you know, you're an author, you're a speaker, you're a fashion designer, graphics, you're media and art was your company's name, but then you also did a UK gospel event guide. How
that's
did that
right,
come about? Because it seems like you're ever-evolving.
Yes, that's right. Funny, When that first started off as a magazine, a monthly magazine, and funny enough, how that got started is when I was getting married, and my wife and I, we was looking for a venue for the reception. I remember one night we went out to this venue, and when we went there, we found that there was like a, it was like a gospel club taking place, and I was really shocked that there was this, you know, this gospel club on our doorstep, but who knew about it? I didn't know about it. So that gave me the idea that there should be some sort of guide for all these, and there's so many gospel events that's taking place, and it'd be great if there was a guide to allow people to go to these events. But then the other thing that was on my heart is that looking at the image of the church through their publicity, because one of the things that I was doing as a freelance graphic designer when I started out, I used to do a lot of designs for the club parties and raves. And those designs and those flyers or leaflets was always excellently done, full color, you know, very graphical and everything like that. Whereas around that time, when you saw a leaflet from a church that was put through your door, it would be something that would have been, you know, done on a computer using some sort of clip art and then, you know, like
right.
printed on a green or pink piece of paper,
yes,
you know,
yes.
and put through your door. So I said, like, you know, if you was even like an on church person and you got this club leaflet through your door and you got this church one through your door, which one are you likely to more, you know, what's going to attract you more? So
the party one.
I am very much, exactly, the party one. So I'm very much about excellence. That is one of my core things, excellence, things to be done in excellence, and image excellence as well. So I, in doing the event guide, I also went in offering my packages regarding advertising, I also included design as free, because I found that it was only the big churches that could afford for, you know, professional design to be done. And I wanted the churches, whether big or small, to stand head and shoulders together as reflected in the magazine. So I did the designs, and then you could not tell, once you had the magazine and looking through it, you could not tell whether it's a small ministry or a big ministry.
Right.
So that's why I wanted that there be like an excellence in that. And then that kind of evolved because then a lot of churches started to pay attention to how they present themselves, how they market themselves. So that was very important to me. And then that magazine has developed, and now we're more online as well, the website and other marketing tools. And then and a lot of churches are still come to us in regards to advertising, but also key to that is the design aspect as well. Design is it's not just making something pretty. You know, I see it as very important in communicating, you know, these spiritual, deeply spiritual concepts, but to presenting it graphically and in a way that communicates to people that are seeing it and conveys the message that they want.
Absolutely. You know, our roles are kind of parallel because I and my husband at the time, we published a Christian newspaper for about 9 years called The Love Express, and it did just that. Had it not been for our newspaper, the churches didn't know each other exist or what was going on or who was where. Mm. And it's created such a synergy in the kingdom. Then now you got the Gospel Truth and all these Christian magazines flowing around now. But, you know, it's this, you know, trailblazers like you and us that, you know, started to say, we want better for the church. We want greatness. We want to work on perfection and stuff. You know, if the world can do it, why can't we do it as believers, believing in the higher power, which is God?
That's right.
But then, you know, a lot of people are stuck in their success and don't move forward because of the fact that they feel that they're inadequate as far as moving on. What would you say to them in another wisdom key for somebody who's just stuck in life and feel that, oh, I just can't move forward because I don't have all that I need to be able to complete it, so why start it at all?
I'm glad you asked that question, just as you were asking it. There's a scripture in the Bible, a very curious scripture, that says that God has put eternity in the hearts of men, that no one can fathom from the beginning to the end of it. And when I look at that scripture, I thought, wow, we are I mean, eternity is like eternity is everything, and we really, you know, one of the biggest issues that we have as people is that we don't really know who we are. We don't really know our identity. We don't really know the depths of who we are. And, you know, we have eternity inside of us. We have everything inside of us. It's just that it's too great. What we have is too great for us to express in our lifetime. We can only express like a slice of it, our slice of it. You know, so we have more than enough to be able to get the job done, but we're only required to express a slice of it because we have eternity in our hearts. So, you know, it really is anyone that thinks that they're stuck, it's just that they just need to dig a bit deeper. It's like when you say with your writing and you are writing, you know, in those small hours of the morning, and I have that same experience myself, and then you look back and you say, you know, did I write that? I have that same experience, and when I'm writing sometimes, or a lot of times, I'm like, where is this stuff coming from? Because sometimes it's not even like I'm even like studying from, like I'm writing and I have like a Bible next to me or this book and I'm studying. Sometimes I just write. And it's just downloading, you know, it's just
absolutely
flowing out of me, just like that, you know. And I'm like, wow, you know, where am I getting that stuff from? But it's just in you already, and it's just for you to, you know, have that confidence and belief in yourself. And once you do that, that's like, you know, it like turns the tap to let it flow. So it's just really to believe that you have it in you. It's already, everything is in you. Everything you need, you're equipped with everything already. It's just for you just to turn the tap, to allow it to flow, and you'll be amazed what comes out of you.
Wow, you know, my pastor, Bishop Henry Fernandez, he always refers to that when he gets an aha moment or, you know, excerpt or endowment from God, he says, I got to download.
Yep, absolutely.
So I can identify with that statement. And that's how the Holy Spirit actually works too. If you open yourself up, you know, people say, I'm stuck and I can't move forward. I don't know which way to go. But, you know, God is always speaking, and he speaks to the just as well as the unjust. You know, when you get ready to cross the street, and something say, don't cross that street, that is the Holy Spirit speaking to you, but you go cross that street and just get swiped by a car. Well, you heard it, but you didn't take heed to it. And even as it holds true to business, when we're in those business meetings, and, you know, if we just be quiet, just quiet our spirit, we can hear what the Spirit is saying to us, because the Word of God said he will lead and guide you into all truth. And as I said, truth is revealed to the believer as well as the non-believer, because for the non-believer to become a believer, he has to first hear. So that's why that truth is going to be revealed.
That's right. That's right. Absolutely.
So, you know, I got to download.
Yeah, absolutely.
I got to download.
That's right.
So,
that's right.
But a lot of times, you know, we get stuck, but we actually have, as you said, everything we need for this journey in this game we call life. And Horace Mann says that we should be ashamed to die until we've made some major contribution to mankind. Now, all of us showed up on here with purpose, with greatness in us, because why? We already have everything we need to succeed in life.
Yes. Absolutely. Absolutely.
So where are you going from here?
Good question. You know, it's an exciting time in my life at the moment, because I'm used to being behind the scenes. I'm used to helping others fulfill their goals and their vision, you know. But now I'm finding that God is pushing me out in the forefront, and doing a lot more speaking, a lot more writing, building my profile. And it was not something I was initially seeking, because I was very comfortable being behind the scenes. But then I realized that, whether you want to or not, as long as you're going down the road of purpose, you are going to be pushed out of your comfort zone. And so that's what happened to me. But I find it exciting, So I'm just going with the flow. I have a vision in mind in what I want to do and what I feel that I'm being led to do. But what I find is that in that kind of keeps me focused, and that gives me direction, and that helps me to recognize opportunities. And I found, especially and more so within the past few years, that opportunities have just been presenting themselves, and I've been just flowing from one opportunity to the next, to the next. So I don't have set down, I'm going to do this step. I have a vision and a goal in mind. I have a direction that I'm looking towards, but then the opportunity, God gives the opportunities. All I do is just prepare myself, and then the opportunities come.
Wow. And that's one of the things that people find hard to do, is prepare themselves.
Yeah. Yes, that's right. That's right. You do have to be prepared.
I'm going to open up the lines for any listeners that have a question or comment for Alan Seeley, calling all the way from East London. He's a motivational speaker, author, life coach, publisher. And the list goes on and on, and the best is still to come. So if you have a question or comment, just press 1, and we will cue you in. Shirley, you have any questions for Alan?
One of the questions I have for you, Alan, is that in your writing, do you ever get to a point where you get a block? Because, so often new writers like myself, I get a block, and then I go into a phase of where I ask God to guide me, and then I'm able to flow again. Have you, or do you experience that in your writing, or are you able to just write because of your connection you already have with God, so when you sit down, you're already ready to flow?
I definitely have writer's blocks like everybody else. I find, though, what helps to avoid that most of the time is if I am consistent at writing. Every morning, I'm up like 3-4 o'clock in the morning writing, and if I keep that consistency, I stay in the flow. It's when I come out of it that it takes a little bit of time to get back into that groove again. And, and you may have that writer's block. But even then, when you do have the block, same thing as you. I pray about it, or I may, have to step back a bit from it because I'm getting too, intense about it, a bit too overwhelmed about it. And sometimes it's best to kind of like step back a bit and then, come back. But one of the key things for me is to just be consistent at writing every morning, to keep in that groove, keep in that flow.
Okay. Thank you.
I know when I set my mind to say, okay, I need to write something, when I zoom in and focus and say I need it, it's like everything within me just like kind of turns in, and it's like my ears, my antenna goes up, and I start watching everything and watching people. And in my watching, that's where I see a need to write, to empower. And that's what helps me along, is by watching, fulfilling the need, where, you know, from the soul of a woman, it caters to people that are broken. So my everything in Valerie Parker is to empower someone to be healed, to, you know, become under reconstruction, if you will.
Right.
So that's why I'm like kind of in tune and very sensitive to the voices I hear, so that I could put them on paper, because, you know, in the atmosphere are where the voices are crying out for help. You know, somebody's whispered a prayer, somebody's crying out in despair, and those voices have taken wind, and they're blowing them amongst the wind, and then we as writers, we snatch them and pin them down and then offer a solution to that pain. And that's what a real author, I feel, does when publishing a book.
Absolutely. I totally agree with that, and can relate to that as well, that you know, as a good writer, you always have to be hearing, because, you know, you will get the message. You have to be open to be getting the message from just different spheres of life. Or, you know, I could be just even just watching a TV show, and then someone will say something that will connect to what I'm writing. I was like, wow, you know, or whether I'm at church or anywhere, just, you know, God speaks in so many different ways. You know, it's not just through, you know, set ways, just, and you have to be open and always listening and hearing, and it's life, you know, all around you. So I can definitely relate to that. There's a lot of things in my book has been, you know, I've got that, the source of those information or the message has just been from hearing from just different sources, from just in life in general, and you're just hearing. So I can totally relate to what you're saying.
So tell us once again, Alan, how they can connect with you. Even though you're in East London, there's different ways that they can get access to Wisdom Brings Success.
Absolutely. So, yes, if you go to my website, wisdombringsuccess.com, and you will see information about me there and ways to purchase the book, or you can contact me directly. Just go to the contact page, and you can contact me directly through the contact page. The book is also available on Amazon in print and Kindle as well, and also Barnes & Noble and most major retailers as well.
Okay. I have a caller holding on 8628. You're live. 8628, you're live.
Hello?
Okay.
Hello.
Yeah.
This is Michael George from South Florida. I have a question for Alan.
Hey,
Alan,
Michael. Hi.
How are you?
I'm fine, thank you very much.
My question to you is that when you were a young boy, in your household, did you have both mom and dad to help show you your gifts and talents?
Yes, my mom and dad were there until, unfortunately, they split when I was 13 years old. However, I am fortunate that, you know, they have been a rock to me and my brothers all throughout, you know, our lives, basically. And my dad comes with a different dimension. he comes with the wisdom. You know, we and my brothers, we call him the wise one. I'm quite happy with that name. and my mom, you know, she's a rock. She's someone that you always that you want to have in your corner. You know, she will back you up to the utmost. So I'm fortunate to have the parents that I have. My dad was always pushing me academically, you know, to do well academically. And my mom, I believe I got a lot of my determination from her. She's someone that is willing to go against the odds to achieve what she needs to achieve. She's a very determined and strong woman. So I'm blessed to have inherited that from her.
Thank you.
Wow, that was a good question. You know why it was such a good question, Alan, is because you just derailed the fact of individuals that think that they can't be successful just because their parents break up, their parents are not together. They function for you together, although they were individually separated. They were still able give you everything you need to be who you are today. And I like the fact that you walked in there and you said, my dad had wisdom and my mom was a rock. So that was so powerful that you were able to make that you know, decisiveness to know what part each adult played in your life.
Oh, yes. Oh, yes. Absolutely. 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 Michael, you still there?
Hello? Yes, he had already disconnected, but, you know, that was a great question.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Right. Okay. Brilliant.
Okay, yeah, this has been a powerful show. I thank you so much for calling in and sharing wisdom, bring success with our audience, and hopefully they will go online and download it. You know, they can go to wisdombringsuccess.com or look for it on Amazon.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Download to their Kindle. So thank you so much for being able to do that. Do you have any closing remarks regarding your book, Alan? Give us one more pearl, please.
it would really be the thing is just to reiterate in regards to the meaning that you give to any situation. Sometimes something happens and we react to that situation, and sometimes we think that you know, it's out of emotion, and we're emotional people. Some people it's because of the chemicals that they have, but most actions or reactions stems from the meaning that you give to any situation, and this is something I even teach. I've taught my daughters from day one. In regards to the meaning, because you can frame any situation with a meaning that best empowers you. You do not have to accept how that situation presents itself and how it looks, you know, how it appears. You can give that situation a different meaning. And when you do that, you will see things in a different light. Solutions would come to you that would not have presented themselves to you otherwise. And that's key to overcoming situations and circumstances that are challenging to you.
Wow.
So that, I believe, is what I'd like to leave you with. You know, thank you very much, Valerie, for inviting me on the show. This has been very empowering.
That was absolutely powerful. Thank you so much. I know people will be replaying and forwarding it to their friends and family members because you certainly deposited some wisdom to many of us. And I like the downloads that we experienced during this show. Yes.
Oh, great. Thank you. Thank you. It's been a pleasure.
Amen. Thank you, Shirley. You have any closing comments for us?
I just want to say thank you, thank you, thank you, Alan, for
the
wisdom that you've shared with us tonight and our listeners. And you really gave me, you know, that little that I need, and I'm going to take my leap of faith.
Oh, great. Amen to that.
Yes.
Great.
You know, sometimes we get so complacent in our lives and everything, and we forget some of the most important things, that we already have the tools we need to be successful. And it's
That's
about
right.
taking that leap of faith. I thank you
That's
for
right.
that.
Absolutely.
Tonight. Yeah.
Oh, you're very welcome.
Yes, and thank you, Shirley, for sharing some Black history with us. And, you know, I want to also encourage our listeners to know that history was made every single day by us as African American. It doesn't just go from February 1st to February 29th. It is 365 days. We have all made an impact in society. And I just want to let our listeners know that Martin Luther King Jr. was ordained as a Baptist minister in 1948 on February 25th. So every day somebody of color was making history. Rather, they showed up on history books or not. The fact that they survived through many tolls, many snares, they yet survive, and they sacrifice with their lives every day for us to be who we are. Our grandparents, our parents and great-grandparents, our ancestors, they all paid a price for we to be who we are, for us to be able to write wisdom, bring success, and be able to have it on the Internet to download or to print hard copies or to sit up at night in our homes with our light burning any hour of the day we choose. That was our right. We have been made free because of the sacrifices. So I thank you all for joining us on another Hot Topics from the Soul. And remember that love affects our past, our present, and our future. It is an emotion and a gift given to us from God, and it should never, ever hurt. Good night, and God bless. Have a powerful week.
Thank you. Good night.
Thank you. Good night.